Welcome to Massive Late Fee. And now your hosts, Mark and Carol.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to Massive Late Fee. My name is Mark. With me as always is my wife, Carol. How are you doing today, Carol?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. It's been a good week here. It is March 19th, 1999. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Happy St. Patty's Day.
We were off for St. Patrick's Day, but, well, I mean, not off, but we did not produce a show St. Patrick's Day, so we got to celebrate with all the green beer they poured into the Chicago River or whatever.
I didn't even know they did that.
Yeah, they dye the Chicago River. They don't pour green beer in there, but they dye the Chicago River green or something like that.
That seems unsanitary and unnecessary.
Maybe they just put phytoplankton in there.
But yeah, we had a couple green beers.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Because that's what the Irish are known for, drinking.
And potatoes.
And getting the snakes out of Scotland or whatever they did. Or Ireland.
What?
That's what St. Patrick did. He just drove the snakes out of Ireland.
Really?
Yeah.
I was not aware.
He's like, snake!
I know nothing. Like, I'm so glad you know things. Cause I'm just like, whatever. Give me the green beer.
Oh my god. Speaking of people that know nothing, you like this guy, I know. I don't that much. But Detroit area rapper melds hip-hop, blues, a little bit of country, and a dollop of good old Motor City Rock. It's Kid Rock.
I do like Kid Rock.
Kid Rock wants a bluegrass beat. He waves to his band to stop playing, steps over to the Roland TR-808 drum machine, and starts punching buttons. It's Monday night band rehearsal, and his drummer isn't quite nailing the rhythm. Kid Rock's got in his head. He knows how to show her. A Kid Rock
concert. What?
Should say he's a female drummer. A Kid Rock concert is an undomesticated party. A simultaneous celebration of the cultural underbelly and urban glitz. But rehearsals are decidedly housebroken. The session is particularly tame. Bleary-eyed Kid Rock has just returned from a hearty weekend in Cancun, where he was one of the hosts of MTV's latest Spring Break episodes.
That would be a fun reason to be tired.
Yeah.
I would take that reason.
The band is working up a new intro to Cowboy, track 2 on Kid Rock's rowdy Devil Without a Cause, the veteran rap rocker's debut album for Atlantic Records. The disc released last August and has sold more than 160,000 copies, according to SoundScan, thanks to rock radio's embrace of the grinding I Am a Bull God and MTV's exaltation of the 27-year-old rapping Romeo native. Yeah, so, and then they talk about ball with the ball. Bow to bow to bang, you know that.
I do.
Anyway, so what I don't like about him is he seems like he's trying to be like, I'm from the streets, and I'm from the streets of Detroit. His dad owns one of the most successful car dealerships in the area, for all of you that don't know.
Yeah, so he's a rich boy.
He is a rich boy. He's a rich boy with, like, I'm straight out of the trailer.
Uh-huh, and he has an image. Like
the trailer behind his house.
A lot of people, you know, have an image. I mean, Eminem's like for real, and yes, he's like not.
He's
but they're still both talented, but definitely not on the same level either.
No, 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 no.
But I still like Kid Rock. I mean, like, whatever. He pretends shit, but he still sounds good. I like his music.
He's fine, I guess.
You don't need to hate on him just because he's not from the streets.
No, I don't know. I'm from the streets, so I guess.
Sorry. I got a cold.
Wow.
I'm choking.
Wow. Wow.
It was hard, hard streets.
The streets of Troy, Michigan.
Right.
At least I'm not stuck in a galaxy far, far away.
Okay.
You ever heard of Farscape?
No.
Series is premiering. So I guess you wouldn't have. But rocket jockey John Crichton is in a heap of star-busting trouble.
Is he related to Michael Crichton?
Maybe. zapped through a bizarre wormhole and hurtled across the universe as the nifty new adventure series Farscape opens 8 p.m. tonight on the Sci-Fi Channel. So tune in for that, everybody.
If you want to.
Farscape.
If that sounds like your cup of tea.
It doesn't sound like my cup of tea.
That sounds fine.
You know what does sound like my cup of tea, though?
What?
Dorm life goes on web.
Okay.
Quite a sight.
Oh, God, do they have like a webcam in a dorm?
Look at that.
That does not sound like a good idea. I can't see the picture.
Okay. Every day, hundreds of visitors stream into Mike Murphy's Oakland University room at all hours.
It looks like boobs. Is it boobs?
It's a camera. Why would they put... You think they just put boobs in fucking the Detroit Free Press?
Maybe it was wishful thinking. Sorry.
They compliment his wall of Pearl Jam posters. They criticize his Buffalo Sabres sweatshirt. They ask him whether he's in love. They comment on his taste in couch pillows. And they never, ever go home. Sounds like a horror movie. Murphy, a 20-year-old journalism and information management major from Farmington Hills, doesn't want them to leave. He is one of three college students from Michigan and 25 nationwide who broadcast their lives on the World Wide Web.
Wow.
A black video camera the size of a baseball sits atop Murphy's computer, sending a series of still images from his dorm room 24 hours a day to a free website. Since the site started broadcasting last month, the web dormers from schools in the Midwest, Florida, California, and New England have become instant celebrities among 20-somethings. What do you think about that? Broadcasting your entire dorm life.
Well, I mean, I would have to imagine, like, the majority of the time would be pretty boring, just like when they have the camera going at the paper in 90210. Right. Like, there's not a lot going on.
But I'm sure sometimes
they have parties and stuff, and that'd be cool.
Right.
And, yeah, of course, sex.
Interesting.
I mean, we're assuming this guy who is willing to put a camera in his room ever gets sex. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But that's what happened on 90210.
It is. You should check out those tapes if you're not.
Yeah.
Hear all about their live sex shows.
That's what 90210 is all about. Live sex shows. What about if you're looking for a website?
What about it? I look for websites all the time.
Well, if you can't find one, try some of these quick tricks.
Holy shit.
Sometimes you don't want much out of the internet. A fact, a phone number, a single picture of boobs. You may want to hop on, pick up a tiny bit of information, and quickly hop off. You can do that, of course, unless you don't know the address of the site that has what you need. How can you get that address? Try these steps. Guess.
Guess?
It helps to know.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Step one, guess. It helps to know how website addresses work. Commercial sites tend to end in .com, federal government sites in .gov, internet provider sites in .net, and nonprofit sites in .org. Add a www in the name or abbreviation of what you're looking for, and you may get there. www.ibm.com, for example, or www.census.gov, or www.unitedway.org.
That sounds like really, really bad advice, because, like, anybody could buy a website similar to, like, I don't know, AOL.com.
Sure.
Maybe it's AJL.com.
Right.
And put whatever the fuck they want in there.
Exactly. They could steal all your information.
Yeah. Don't just type in random addresses, people.
State and Michigan departments
no.
tend to start with www and end with state.mi.us. So the Michigan Department of Education is www.mde.state.mi.us. Wow.
That's easy to think of there.
But what happens if you type in www.aaa.org?
That's AAA, right?
And instead of getting the American Automobile Association, you get the Amateur Astronomers Association. Time to start using more sophisticated tools than guessing.
Yeah.
Who is? Network Solutions is the company that registers private web addresses for the United States. And it will allow you to check its records to see what domains basic net addresses like freep.com are registered to a company or person. which is crude but often effective. So you can go there to see that.
Do that. Do that thing.
Still no luck? Use Yahoo. Your next best bet is a search engine compiled by people where websites are listed according to categories. Yahoo, which is www.yahoo.com, is the most popular. Type Detroit Free Press into the search box on that page, and you'll get a list of matches, including our main page at www.freep.com. Interesting. So that sounds like the best way is to use Yahoo.
Yeah. Or, I mean, maybe the other one's good too, but it sounds like it's going to be narrower.
Yeah. Let's turn it into a verb. Can't find something? Yahoo it.
I like it.
Alta Vista. But what if you're looking for a single person's page? Not some big business. Visit a powerhouse computer compiled search engine like AltaVista.com. Because Alta Vista's main catalog is put together by machines instead of people. There aren't nice category listings for every site, but there are many pages to search through.
This reminds me of a couple years ago, my mom got me a, I think it was the Internet's Guide to the Dummy, or Guide for Dummies or something.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a Yellow Pages for the Internet.
Okay. There's also news groups. You might stumble across a site of someone that has compiled a news group of things. But basically, I don't know. I've never really... So, mostly, I think I've used Yahoo if I don't know the website. I think, for the most part, any place I go, like any website I go to on the internet, I know the address.
Yeah.
I don't know how... Like, I've heard it somewhere, or somebody says, hey, check out this, you know, or whatever.
You don't just go exploring around with weird things and see what you get to?
No.
Yeah, because, again, that sounds like a really fucking bad idea, people.
Just guess. That's my favorite is just guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, for instance, if I want to watch Homestar Runner, I know to go to homestarrunner.com.
But that book that I got was really fun cuz it gave me ideas of places to go. Like board.com, www.board.com.
Okay.
That is a super fun website that has a bunch of other websites on it.
Oh, that's cool.
When you're bored, yeah.
Does it have Homestar Runner on it?
I don't think so.
You're not familiar with Homestar Runner, are you?
No.
Or Strong Bad. Homestar.
What the hell are they?
It's this guy's made a, it's almost like a cartoon website, but it's like stories featuring Homestar Runner, and it's like a cartoon, basically, but it's a whole site with it. It's very funny.
Okay.
Check it out, everyone.
Oh, you got all the stories today.
Oh, yeah. Check out Ben Affleck. Checking him out.
You know, from here, he looks like boobs. I'm sorry. Everything looks like boobs. I think you've got
boobs on your mind. Actor Ben Affleck has come a long way since his days as a gangly teenager. Meet Ben Affleck, former clumsy guy. Ben Affleck, unattached again after romancing with Gwyneth Paltrow, wasn't always this... sought-after bachelor that movie stardom has made him. Quote, as a kid, I was the kind of guy who got dumped a lot, he says in the April issue of Cosmopolitan magazine, remembering himself as a gangly, clumsy teen. I don't think the ladies were saying, I'm looking for somebody awkward and beanpole-like who doesn't have control over his own limbs.
Wow.
What about Leah Thompson? She's tired of being nice. You know,
aren't we all?
You know Leah Thompson?
No.
From Back to the Future.
Okay.
The mom.
Okay.
Leah Thompson is sick of being seen as a goody-goody. It's frustrating, like that time you tried to fuck your son. It's frustrating for me artistically because it's easy for people, critics or whoever, to dismiss me as a nice girl, Thompson says in the April issue.
She wants to be the bad girl.
Red Book. That makes me angry. Just because you're nice and you're not tearing up the town, dating all kinds of people and trying to destroy yourself, doesn't mean your work doesn't have depth. The 37-year-old star of Caroline in the City and longtime husband Howard Deutsch, her director for Some Kind of Wonderful, have two children. Growing up with a less-than-perfect mother made her want to lavish extra attention on her kids. My mother really fought a battle with alcoholism, Thompson says. She finally quit when I was about 8. Being a child of an alcoholic fostered independence at an early age and some hard feelings. I don't remember my mother ever driving me to school or to my dance class or whatever, she says. I resented that she wasn't Donna Reed.
Okay. Sorry you went through some shit, but...
But nobody cares about you, Leah Thompson.
You're 37 now, though, so...
Keep doing Caroline in the City and be a nice girl. No one gives a fuck what you want.
It's a little late to try to change your image, though, really. I mean...
Seriously. You're almost done with
acting. Not trying to be mean.
You're almost done with acting, right? Once actresses reach 40, they're done?
Apparently. That's kind of how it works.
Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura said he intends to lead a trade mission to Hollywood. His objective? Entice the filmmaking industry into bringing additional economic activity to Minnesota. We should do that here in Michigan.
Yeah.
Bring people here to Michigan. You want to do a apocalyptic nightmare city? There's lots of places to film in Detroit.
There you go.
And finally, Carol, last story. I promise everyone, I know you want us to get to the movie. Pop culture stars are looking younger than ever, according to Bob Talbert. It seems to me that youth culture drives music and movies like never before. The youth market is hotter than it's ever been. Youth worship is peaking as this century and millennium end. In a Monday story about Vanity Fair's Oscar party, the New York Times noted that the magazine's editor, Graydon Carter, is proud of the fact that that few of the subjects on the April Hollywood cover are recognizable to non-Hollywood civilian. He's got that right. The fold-out cover shows 14 rather serious-looking stars of tomorrow staring at the camera. They look like some cool but bored group of high school seniors.
Okay,
college freshmen, maybe. A few seem vaguely familiar. Haven't I seen him on a sitcom? Wasn't she in a movie that lasted a week in the theaters? Their names leave most of us puzzled. Adrian Brody, Tandy Newton, Monica Potter, Julia Stiles, Giovanni Ribisi, Sarah Polley, Omar Epps, Norman Reedus, Barry Pepper. Who are these people?
Okay.
Carter says, people start getting old when they stop going to movies. Movies synthesize the zeitgeist in a way that newspapers can't and magazines try to. An arguable point, if by zeitgeist Carter means as my Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary defines. What do you think, though? What do you think of... So basically, his point... I'm not going to go through.
Yeah, please explain his point.
I'm not going to go through his entire article. But his point is that there are a new crop of stars.
Sure.
You know, Tandy Newton, Giovanni Ribisi, whatever. Giovanni Ribisi was on My Two Dads.
Wasn't he on Friends? Am I thinking of somebody else?
I think he was on an episode of Friends. Yeah, wasn't he Phoebe's brother?
Yeah.
I think.
Wait, if he was Phoebe's brother, then he was in the movie we saw recently with.
Well, he was in the movie with Sarah Polley was in that movie too. The other sister. Yeah, he was the guy.
Yeah.
He was the mentally handicapped guy.
So why are we acting like he's nobody? Movie star.
I'm not acting like he's nobody.
No, but this guy who wrote the article is.
I've heard
unrecognizable. No, he's not.
I've heard of some of the other names too. I've heard of Adrian Brody.
Sure. So his point is there's a new crop of Hollywood people.
And they all look very young.
Okay.
They're all Omar Epps about it.
I think this guy just feels old.
I think Bob Talbert's been doing this since the 60s, I think.
Okay.
So I think he does feel
old. I'm sorry, you're feeling old, sir.
Or the 70s, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's I think that it's refreshing. He's talking about like how he thinks that youth like worship is at an all-time high. I don't know. I don't know if I think youth culture is being worshipped more than it's ever has been. I mean, Judy Garland was a star when she was like 15 years old.
Or who played Shirley Temple?
Yeah, Shirley Temple played herself.
Yeah, that one.
Who played Shirley Temple? You got it.
She was a little girl.
She was a little girl. You're right. But I mean, like, I think, like my sort of joke about how by the time you're 40 and a woman, your career in Hollywood is over.
That's not a funny joke.
I think that that's been the case for a while.
Yeah.
You know, I know Marilyn Monroe died or whatever, but she wouldn't still be in movies today.
No.
And you don't see... The like Raquel Welch and Sophia Loren and stuff. Like, I mean,
who's gorgeous.
I know they were in the Grumpier Old Men movies, but it's like it's not a joke. Well, Anne Margaret was the one in that, but it's not a joke necessarily, but it's like...
The point is they're old.
The point is they're old, and they're love interests to these guys that are way older than them, by the way, mm-hmm. I think. You don't see them anymore. So I think, in a way, Hollywood has always sort of venerated youth.
Yeah.
Hollywood and the music industry. Now, maybe the music... I can see the argument with the music industry, maybe. Maybe the music industry is moving a little more towards the youth than it was before.
Okay. See, I would think that would matter even less because, like, music is music. You can make music the same when you're 80 as you can when you're 18.
Yeah, but I think that image is more important in music now than it's ever been. We, like, the Britney Spears, sure. She just had that music video and her, like, you know, Hit Me Baby One More Time or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they have her dressed up and as a schoolgirl and stuff like that. And NSYNC mm-hmm. is the same kind of way where they market their looks and stuff like that.
Yeah, I guess the advent of music videos probably pushes it more towards youth.
Because you don't see a lot of, like, Rick Ocasek anymore. The lead singer of the Cars, you know? Like, he looked like a fucking monster almost.
Okay. Like Meatloaf?
Exactly, yeah. But they made good music.
Yeah.
So it's like what they looked like didn't matter as much. Even Roger Daltrey's, the lead singer of The Who, wasn't like the best looking guy in the world, you know. Mm. But yeah, I think there's a little more in the music industry. I think it's maybe a little more tending towards that way, but
okay.
But I don't agree, Bob Talbert. I think that you could have done this article 40 years ago about who's this new crop of stars, you know, and it'd be like whatever, I don't know, Sally Field. Sally Field was another one when she was like small. I mean, she was probably a teenager or whatever, but those beach movies and The Flying Nun and shit like that,
right.
She was very young.
Yeah.
Anyway, so before we talk about the movie, speaking of very young, I assume our fans are on the younger side. I don't know. But we've gotten some mail, haven't we, Carol?
We did. We got some mail. We got a couple of letters this past week. I think maybe we'll just read one today.
Okay.
And save one for next week so you can be in suspense.
I would like to say,
yes.
So, well, we've talked about before getting not safe for work pictures and everything. Carol says that she's okay with it, but she does. She only girls. She only wants girls.
Yes. Yeah.
No boys. So, if you're a boy, we don't want to see your penis.
Well, because we both enjoy boob pictures.
Exactly.
And nobody wants to see penises.
And
no,
neither
offense,
one of us would. Neither one of us would enjoy a penis picture, I don't think. Would you enjoy it?
No.
Okay. Well, there you go. So we don't want to see it. Don't show us.
No feet, no dicks. Okay.
No feet either. Okay.
Yes, I've already said that many times.
That's true.
No feet pics.
We're not into that.
No. So big fan. Hey, what's up?
I thought you were going to say big poops. Big fan. Okay.
My name is blank, because I'm not saying your name.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of the show.
We don't out people in their names.
My friend and I listen all the time. I think we both probably listened to every episode at least twice.
What's your friend look like?
And then there was a little bit more that's just for us. And
twice?
At least I know, that's twice? That's so many. I mean, like, we really appreciate the dedication, but yeah, that's a lot.
We've done over 500 episodes.
So that'd be like over 1,000 hours, probably.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. Well, thank you, ladies. You sound really hot, Carol. Again, thank you. So don't be jealous. I'm not. My best friend and I think that Mark has the sexiest voice ever. I must agree.
Well, I can't deny that.
I'll bet you can't keep your hands off him. I mean, we managed to make it through the day.
Yeah. We can do the episode.
Exactly. Anyway, love everything you do, and hope you enjoy the picture we did, dear. Thank you.
Yeah, so very nice. We appreciate the compliments, of course, you know.
You know, though, the problem is, though, that his head is going to get so big that he won't be able to fit in and out of the office door to record.
I'm just saying that sometimes, you know, it's a curse having a voice that's so debonair. Anyway, speaking of a curse, we watched a movie this week, Carol. Yeah,
Forces of Nature?
Yes, right? Forces of Nature, that's correct.
Okay. we watch so much shit, it's hard to keep it all straight.
Yes, I do believe it's called Forces of Nature or Force of Nature.
Well, now I don't know.
Or the Force of Nature.
Force be with you. I don't
force
fucking know.
Force be with
know.
You, Nature.
But it had it's, Ben Affleck.
It's Forces of Nature.
Okay. Had Ben Affleck and Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock.
It's kind of weird to me. Like, I kind of thought she is older than him, but maybe she's just been around in movies longer than him. Oh,
you think she's been around, huh?
And that's kind of weird because usually, you know, they put the girls with the older guys and not the other way around.
Yeah, I think she is older than him.
But, I mean, I'm sure they're close. They look good. They have good chemistry. I'm not saying anything bad about the pairing necessarily. It just kind of struck me that she's been around more than he has.
Yeah, if I had to guess, I would say she's maybe, I don't know, 8 to 10 years older than him.
Yeah, so. But, like, she's, like, the crazy free spirit, so I think that, you know, de-ages a person somehow.
Yeah, she doesn't look
old. She doesn't look her age.
I don't know, yeah, I don't know exactly. I honestly don't know exactly how old Sandra Bullock is, but she doesn't look old. She looks, I don't know, timeless.
Yeah.
Almost.
It's like Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, exactly.
But Ben Affleck is engaged to be married.
He is, to Moira Tierney.
Yeah, she's from ER. She's mm-hmm. cute and little. Like, she's not as pretty as Sandra Bullock, but she's pretty.
Yeah, she's fine.
Yeah. But the movie starts out at his bachelor party.
Which he didn't want to have, but Steve Zahn decided to throw him a bachelor party.
Which, like...
He's in so many, like, I don't know if you guys recognize the name Steve Zahn or not, but he's been in so many movies we've seen.
Yeah.
He's in a lot of, just as a, as like
supporting
the best friend or whatever, but he's in a lot of them.
Yeah, he is. He definitely gets a lot of work. But this bachelor party is crazy because it's like a ton of dudes. Even his grandpa is there.
Yeah, it's like they've rented out an entire club.
Yeah. And they have a stripper. I would be terrified. Like, this woman comes out, she's covered in balloons with a pin to pop them, which that's right. Weird.
Yeah. And I feel like I've seen that before, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen that in the movie Bachelor Party or if it was some other movie, but I feel like I've seen that before.
I'm sure it's a thing that is done, but there were so many guys,
yeah,
and they're all, like, rowdy. Like, I'd be scared.
It did seem like the opening of, like, a post-apocalyptic movie. Where it's, like, just all these guys and there's one girl left.
Right, or, like, blah, blah, blah. The opening of that movie from the 80s that, you know, like, you know, the girl gets raped in the bar by, like, 20 guys. Like,
oh, Jesus Christ.
I can't think of the name of the movie.
The Accused.
Yeah, The Accused. That's what it reminds me of.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so I went kind of funny and you went completely serious. That's sorry. Based on a true story, too, I believe.
But I mean, okay, so poor Ben
actually,
Affleck.
Actually, I'm not sure at all, but
I think it is.
I thought it was.
But poor Ben Affleck is not interested in having a stripper. He said he didn't want one. Mm-hmm. And this is all being forced upon him. And his grandpa is really enjoying the show.
Yeah, both his grandpa and his father are there, and they both look, they look like they went to school together. Like, they look almost the same age. They both look ancient.
It's weird. And then his grandpa just, like, keels over with a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't even get to finish enjoying this, you know, unwanted lap dance.
Yeah, because and the grandpa was, like, you know, just super into this. So he has a heart attack. Moira Tierney's family is from Savannah, Georgia. They're in New York.
Mm-hmm.
The point of the movie is they're going to Georgia to get married. Presumably, her father, who was the bad guy in RoboCop, the I can't remember the actor's name, but he was the, you know, the not the head of OCP, but the guy underneath, the one that was trying to get RoboCop killed or whatever. He wanted Ed 209 to succeed.
Okay.
The guy that gets killed at the end and he falls out of the window and his arms are really long because they couldn't... They couldn't render special effects that well, visual effects that well.
Sure. Rawr! I wish I could remember anything about that fucking movie, but yeah.
It's a great movie.
Sure.
Anyway, so he's her dad, and her mom is Gwyneth Paltrow's mom.
Oh.
Blythe Danner.
I did not realize that.
Who I know, of course, from the musical movie 1776 with John Astin.
I have seen that movie.
You know what else? John.
Not by choice.
Not John Astin. I'm sorry. I meant, fuck it. I can't think of his name. It's not John Astin, though.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I cannot help
William
you.
William Daniels. That's his name. Do you know what he was on?
What? What?
You know what show
no,
he was on?
No. No. Don't do it. No.
Oh. If I could remember which one it was.
He's like stroking the buttons.
If I could remember which button it was to play. Do, 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 do.
Do you feel better now that you got it out there?
Yeah. He was on St. Elsewhere.
Okay.
Anyway. So those are her parents. So the point is they're going to Savannah, Georgia. Or they're supposed to go to Savannah, Georgia. This movie reminded me of, like, it was planes, trains.
And automobiles.
Automobiles, buses, walking automobiles again. Now that's like, because in planes, trains, and automobiles, they literally go from a plane to a train to an automobile.
Right.
They go plane, automobile, train, bus, automobile,
okay,
walking.
Yeah, there's a lot of changing, yes.
Because it's a road movie.
So,
and apparently, the entirety of the world is against him.
Yeah.
And against him getting there. And it starts here in the hospital room. He's sitting with his grandfather, who has suffered a heart attack, and he's there, you know, and everything. He wakes up and he's like, oh my God, it was so great. Your fucking grandmother's ugly as shit. I can't believe I married her. I dreamed about being with women and stuff like that. Marriage is a scam. It's a trap. Fuck yeah.
It is pretty awful.
But that, I mean,
not
that's
marriage. I mean, what he's saying is pretty awful.
I was going to say, you know, this was an interesting movie to watch as a newlywed,
right?
By the way.
Not terrifying at all.
We fucking looked at each other several times in the theater like,
right.
Is this going to happen?
It is not, though, because I think it's, you know, like, first of all, we are, like, really in love, whereas, you know, these people are obviously not.
How do I know if I'm really in love?
What the fuck?
That's the Ted Danson thing.
You're supposed to just know.
That's the name of the Ted Danson that I was referencing that. We talked about that before.
What Ted Danson thing?
How do I know if I'm really in love? The one where...
Oh, that stupid movie?
Yes!
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, you can live.
Wow. That's what marriage is like, everyone. So, anyway, go ahead.
Go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
It was terrifying. Talk about the movie. What did you like the movie?
I was going to talk about the movie.
Let's do it.
She just derailed me, and they're like, now go. So he spends the evening after this with his soon-to-be wife.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I think that's weird, because aren't they supposed to be getting married, not the next day, I guess, but...
The day after, I think.
Okay, so I guess it's okay.
They're getting married soon.
We didn't spend the night together the night before we got married.
No, we didn't. Are you kidding me? We did not enjoy each other carnally until after marriage. We saved ourselves.
Oh, dear Lord. His nose is growing visibly while he's speaking. Anyway, she thinks this is hilarious about his grandpa having a heart attack from the stripper. Like, she is not, she just thinks it's funny, and he's, like, really freaked out by what his grandpa said.
And they ask each other if they're scared or nervous or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She says she is.
Yeah, she's honest.
And he says he's not.
Which is a lie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a bold-faced lie. And then he goes to get on the plane. And
he gets on the plane.
For some reason, I don't understand what his grandpa's heart attack had to do with him not flying with her like he was supposed to.
I don't exactly understand either. I know she went on an earlier plane, I guess the next day. It would make more sense if she left that day than
yeah.
he had the heart attack. But she didn't, because we get that scene of them in bed together.
Yeah.
Just, you know, having a conversation. But, yeah, she leaves, I guess, the next day, and he delays a couple days.
To, like, be with grandpa or whatever.
His grandpa is stabilized, I guess, and out of the hospital.
I don't know.
But, yeah, he gets on a plane.
With his best man.
Sandra Bullock is on the plane.
Or no, he's supposed to be getting on the plane with his best man, but his best man forgot the rings.
That's right. So he has to go back to the city to get the rings.
So now it's just... oh my God, I want to call him Matt Damon.
Ben Affleck.
Thank you. Ben Affleck getting on this plane. with Sandra Bullock and this creepy ass man sitting in. It's one of those like three row thing, mm-hmm. three seat rows.
Yeah.
And this guy gets up so she can get by, but doesn't like step out into the aisle to let her in.
No.
Makes it so she has to scooch and then like fucking like presses her up against the seat. Like, oh, hey, baby. Guys are so creepy. Yeah. Like, not all guys, but any guy that would do that is an asshole and mm-hmm. just lol.
I agree. So, it's Kenny Banya, by the way, from Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah. And so then the plane's about to take off and a bird gets sucked into the propeller.
And not.
No.
They're taking a 1936 biplane.
Shut up.
Across the fucking country.
You're mean to
into
me.
The jet engine.
Laughing at me.
He's yeah, they're taking a jet. Yeah, a bird gets sucked into the engine, which is stuff that happens. They call them bird strikes or whatever.
But luckily they hadn't actually taken off yet. So it's not like the plane's in the air and falls. But it does, they do lose control of the plane, and it does crash.
Yeah,
it
crashes right into the Welcome to New York sign or whatever.
And it knocked down several things along the way, so, like, all the flights are canceled.
And Ben Affleck is already, it's established he's afraid of flying.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his computer, because he's trying to write his vows.
Yeah.
And Sandra Bullock is, like, looking over at his computer, which is rude, by the way.
And, yeah, I think that's really weird that he would have his frickin', like, laptop computer on a plane with him. Like that's, I don't know, that's weird.
People do that sometimes, I guess.
I guess. Like, whatever happened to pen and paper?
I don't know. Especially when you're writing your vows.
Yeah.
But he, yeah, so he's trying to write them. She looks over, he closes the computer. When the crash happens, he's, like, trying to hold on to stuff and everything, and he clocks her in the fucking head.
He knocks her out with his computer.
Unconscious.
Yeah, no good. No bueno.
But he carries her mm-hmm. out of the plane.
Because he must feel deeply guilty that he knocked her out.
And for some reason, well, I guess it makes sense that the news is covering this, but the news has, somehow they've gotten there. I don't know that they just station news reporters at the airport or whatever, but they've somehow gotten there in time to film stuff. Like, sure. Oh, you know, it was like disaster at the fucking airport or whatever. And the parents down in Georgia and his wife-to-be happened to be watching the exact channel at the exact time, which means it's not just local news, by the way. It has to be national news because they're looking at it in Georgia.
Well, it's a plane crash. I mean, that's pretty big news.
Kind of. It's a plane crash with no fatalities, a few injuries, and it's not even really a crash. It's a plane that failed to take off.
No, I mean, the plane did crash. It didn't crash to the ground, but it did crash. It's like a car accident,
yeah,
but
it crashed like a car would crash, yeah.
And, okay, yeah, I mean, it could definitely have been worse. But.
So that's the setup. And then, not to go through every single thing that happens in the movie, but from there, it's a road trip movie.
Yeah.
They get into a car with a guy that's doing drugs.
They being him and Sandra Bullock, they're for some reason together for the rest of this movie.
They both really need to get down to Georgia. She says she needs to sell a donut shop that she bought with $25,000 of her money. And she needs to get that money.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going for his wedding, obviously.
Right.
But they're pooling their resources or whatever.
They have, like, no resources, really.
But, so it's just like a regular road trip movie. It's like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah, I mean, like,
where everything that can go wrong goes wrong.
Yeah, things just continuously happen. They get arrested at one point. Mm-hmm. They end up with some weird, like, old people cults that, like...
Old people cults! They're selling them condos in Florida.
They're called the Sunseekers. Doesn't it sound like a cult? Old people
cults. Yeah, where they lie and say he's a doctor.
And that they're married.
He and Sandra Bullock are married.
And so they're sharing a room. And
the
that
honeymoon
looks really bad.
Oh, yeah.
When his best man happens to be there.
Because they're driving, too. The best man and the maid of honor.
But why are they there at this condo selling place?
No, they so... The bus breaks down. It's one of the several weird things that happens. So they put them up at this hotel, and they happen to stop by this hotel to eat because it's like the only thing for miles or whatever, I guess.
Yeah. The Sunseekers gave them a room.
Yeah. For free.
For it to be nice.
Yeah, just to be nice. They get their...
And then they kick their asses out when they find out they're not really married.
They get their wallets.
Shame.
They get their wallet stolen, and he asks his dad to send him money, and the MoneyGram place burns to the fucking ground.
Yeah, it's just like thing after thing after thing is preventing him from making it to his wedding. And at some point, if I were him, I would be like, maybe I shouldn't be getting married.
Yeah, I completely understand that. And it's weird because, so, I want to know, what did you think of this movie overall?
I really liked it. Mm-hmm. It was fun, like the adventure they go on to get down there. And I actually was really happy with the ending. Like, I didn't, like, if you'd asked me halfway through the movie, if you'd said, hey, this is how it ends, I'd be like, what the fuck? But I really did like it. I think it fits.
I think the ending could be very polarizing.
Okay.
So they have a romance of sorts. They never have sex.
No, they do kiss at one point.
But they kiss several times.
Several times, okay. Yeah,
they kiss several times. They stroke each other several times or whatever, you know, just like on the arm and stuff.
Holy shit, you made that sound so dirty.
They cuddle each other or whatever. But they kiss and stuff like that. Moira Tierney has an ex-boyfriend mm-hmm. that's there that her parents approve of way more in Savannah. And they make out, and he's, like, stroking on her, too.
Yeah, they're trying. He's definitely trying to lay her, yeah.
And she stops that. So they don't cheat. I mean, they cheat, kind of.
Yeah, everybody cheats, but
they don't have sex either.
Nobody has sex, yeah. It's nothing you can't come back from.
So, like, it's a romantic comedy, kind of, in that way. It's the cinematography, to me, is kind of interesting in this too.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of just beautiful shots in here.
There's a lot of like there's some dark lighting that in here, like some very like low-key lighting. There's a lot of like a almost like a blue gel filter mm-hmm. over things in certain shots. There's definitely some real deliberate choices here with the cinematography. And there's two scenes, one of rain, one of hail, where it's like slow motion and everything. The thing I didn't like about the ending is, so there's a hurricane coming mm-hmm. in to Savannah, Georgia. And like, if you were warned for weeks or even like the last 4 days or whatever, which they would have had to have been
right.
about the hurricane coming, I don't think I would have planned an outdoor wedding in Savannah.
For sure. They should have rescheduled the wedding or at least plan to have it indoors somewhere, but they
take it to New York where they both were,
right? But yeah, so they go down toward the hurricane to get married.
Yeah, they go towards the hurricane
and literally like furniture is flying around mm-hmm. and people are still out there. Like eventually everybody runs inside, but they stay out there way longer than I think is realistic.
Yeah, so at the end of this movie we've discovered that Sandra Bullock has been married a couple times. She's been divorced once. She wants to get divorced again from this guy. She's been in abusive, bad relationships and everything. Presumably, her first husband is also bad. Maybe not abusive, but also not a good,
yeah.
like a person that makes her feel bad about herself because that's the kind of guy she's been with. But she left custody of her child to this guy.
Which, you know, that leaves me with a lot of questions about her and her character. Like, what was going on with her at that time? Is she, like, a fucking, like, drug addict? Or yeah, like, I mean, because exactly. Usually that's why a woman would lose custody of their child.
That's my big criticism of the movie, is that I never feel like we get a full picture of her character. Mm-hmm. Her character seems to exist in the movie as a catalyst of change for Ben Affleck's character, sure. and not much more than that. So even though we learn a lot about her character, I never really feel a depth of her character. And Sandra Bullock takes what I think is a very underwritten character and does a lot with it on the sheer strength of how fucking charming she is.
She is.
As I said before, I think Sandra Bullock is a good-looking woman. She's not exactly my type, and I don't think she's like some ravishing beauty or whatever, but I don't think, pound for pound, I think she's the most charming actor in Hollywood.
Okay.
I don't think there's anyone that has more on-screen charisma than she does. And she can make any viewer fall in love with her, a character that she's doing. She's that good.
And Ben Affleck even mentions this in the movie, how charming she is, that like she has the ability to make people just fall in love with her, because she's worried that when she's planning to go back to her child, and she's worried that he won't like her.
She wants to bring the $25,000 with her.
Like, kids
so
care.
So she has something to give him.
Kids don't care. I mean, yeah, it'd be nice to have some money to take care of him or whatever, sure. But he's not going to care if you show up empty-handed. All he cares about is you.
Exactly. And that's what Ben Affleck tells her. But yeah, so I think without her in the movie, I think it's a much, much worse film.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's another actress around that could do this part. Not as written, because like I said, I think this is a severely underwritten character.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely left with some questions, but like, she's more of a like live for the moment, you know, have fun,
sure,
free spirit person, and he's definitely not that. He's just full of anxiety.
Well, there's a lot of cliches that go on here. There's the opposites attract, you know, the odd couple, whatever you want to call it. There's the road trip. There's the meet cute. You know, there's the. Like, there's a bunch of different, just, like, cliched situations that are going on here in this movie. And I think it could really become, like, a hammy, uninteresting slog if it wasn't for her and him, too. Not to overshadow Ben Affleck's performance. I think the chemistry between the two of them is really good.
He talks about it and acknowledges it way before she does.
Yeah.
He says that he thinks they should part ways because he wouldn't want his fiance continuing to travel with someone who he had a flirtation or a spark or whatever you want to call it. And she's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Which was bullshit.
She tries to deny it, yeah. But yeah, that would be my big criticism, is that I never feel the full depth of a character. I never feel anything more than the two-dimensional shape of a character, but we don't really get into who she is, what makes her tick. I mean, if we do, then the movie becomes a lot longer. It becomes something else.
Sure, sure.
I mean, I guess I kind of understand the choices, but I wish there was a little bit more of... Because when she goes and sees her son at the end and talks with him and sits in the tree with him and all that stuff, it would feel like more of a win, I think, if we had... more of a redemption arc with her.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it would have been nice to understand the situation. Maybe know that, like, she wanted him and the ex-husband was preventing her in some way from having him. Or, you know, I mean, like, that would have made her more sympathetic, because instead it's kind of like, ooh, what happened? Mm-hmm. But either way, it was still really emotional when she finally got to see her son. And I cried.
Yes.
I don't know if you cried. I
did not, no. But I know you did. They get to the wedding, and Ben Affleck is with Sandra Bullock. They've been kissing and everything. He fully intends to break it off, to say, I don't want to get married, I can't do this. And that's what he goes into the wedding to do. Every person he's talked to that's been married, all this stuff, everything like along the way, has been, marriage sucks, we hate marriage. The one happy couple that he talked to were having an affair.
Yeah, they weren't married.
They weren't married to each other. They were married, but they weren't married to each other.
Yeah.
And, like, it's... Everything's been pointing them to, like, go fuck yourself. Don't get married. He tries to talk to his parents about it, and his parents are like, we don't understand. What do you mean? Like, what are you talking about? And so then they see him there right before he goes to break his fiance's heart. And the dad is like, I understand what you were trying to say now on the phone. And he basically says, look, you never know. When you get married, you don't know if it's going to last. You don't know if this is the person. You can't really know until you do the work of being in the marriage. And he's like, it's a leap of faith getting married, basically. And he's like, I got lucky, you know, and everything. Like, his parents seem like they have like a cantankerous or whatever relationship, but there's love, you know, at the center of it or whatever is the kind of, we get the idea. And he says all this shit, and he's going to break Moira Tierney's heart. And then he sees her.
In her wedding dress, on the balcony, looking out, yeah.
And then they start talking, and everything's different. He talks about how he fell in love with her again and everything. And so, all this stuff that he goes through along the trip is recontextualized. So while he's going, because I read some critics about this movie, and a lot of people don't like this movie, and a lot of people don't like the ending, and a lot of people, and I think a lot of people don't get the ending, because I'll reveal now, I did like this movie.
Okay.
I don't think I liked it quite as much as you did. I have some minor problems with it, but I do like this movie, and I like this ending, and I get this ending, and I think if he ended up with Sandra Bullock, I think that's very cliched. Mm-hmm. I think that just takes a paint-by-numbers scenario and whatever. But like I said, he has this speech and everything, and he's like, you know, I fell in love with you again, and he does this, I don't remember exactly all the things he says, but he does this big, eloquent speech and everything, and she's like, I think you just wrote your vows or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it recontextualizes all this stuff, because as we're watching the movie, you think all these things are happening, all these terrible things are happening to him all along the way, and it's like, oh, the universe is telling him, don't get married. The universe is saying, no, this is wrong, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And at the end, everything is recontextualized into, no, this is all the shit you have to get through to get mm-hmm. to where you're supposed to be.
Yep, it's the challenges.
That if you can get through all of this, then you get the reward or whatever, the love at the end of the rainbow. And that's, I kind of liked that it was, he saw a bunch of people that all took the easy way out. And Sandra Bullock, who's traveling with him, also took the easy way out of everything. It, you know, having a son and raising the son when she's trying to figure out her own shit or whatever, that'd be hard. She took the easy way out and mm-hmm. left. She took the easy way out and got divorced once. She's taking the easy way out and get divorced twice. She's trying to take the easy way out and get her money back and all this stuff. And going there with money in hand is also an easy way out, an easy way to try to win affection from this kid instead of having to connect emotionally as a mother with him.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things, he's seeing all these people that have taken the easy way out, and it's like, are they really happy? You know? And that's, so I think that's kind of the moral of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that he ended up with her in the end and that Sandra Bullock wasn't there. And like when he said to her, you'll still be here when I come back. Right. She's like, oh, you know me. And it's like, you know, she's not going to be there. And I'm so mm-hmm. glad she wasn't. That would have been awful.
She would have been though, because she watches them through the thing. And then she's like, I think she sees what's happening.
Mm.
And she says, you know, bye, Ben, or whatever, or whatever his name was. Yeah. I don't think his name was Ben. But,
yeah.
But then, she, you know, and she leaves.
But she wasn't where he left her.
No, but she was watching the events unfold. I think she would have stayed and been with him.
You do?
I do. But I think it would have been the wrong choice. I think them being together would have been the wrong thing, and it wouldn't have been what she needed, because going to another man is not what she needed. Connecting with her child is what she needed.
Yeah.
She needs to focus on that relationship and not some external validation from somebody else or whatever she's searching for. And that it's hard to delve into deeply what exactly she was doing wrong in the other relationships or what she was seeking in the other relationships, because like I said, we don't get enough about her character to know. It would be nice to know that information and to have more depth there, but we don't. So you can only really speculate as to what stuff happened in her past that made her choose the wrong people. But Ben Affleck tries to tell her, like, you know, you should see you how the world sees you, and like and all this other stuff, and like basically that you're better than you think you are, and you deserve more than you're settling for. And we're supposed to think that's him, but it's not. It's, you know, they changed each other along this journey.
Yeah.
And it was good that they were together for a little while and changed each other for the better. But in the end, they have to go their separate ways.
Yeah, very, very, like, fun and emotional.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, it's there was definitely humor to it. I don't know that I would call it a comedy. I think it's being marketed as a romantic comedy, and I don't think I would call it a comedy, really. There are comedic elements to the movie,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's more dramatic. It's kind of almost surrealistic at times. At least that's the way it's filmed. That's the tone it is from being the way it's filmed. But I would say it almost defies categorization. I don't think it's not a straight drama either, but it's something in between. It's a like real life kind of scenario.
Yeah.
It has comedic elements, so I understand why they want to call it a comedy. But I wouldn't go in there expecting to like laugh for 2 hours.
No, for sure.
But yeah, I mean, I would recommend it. I definitely think it's worth seeing in the theater.
Yeah, it's very pretty too. So It's enhanced by the big screen.
But that is the episode for the week. Carol, why don't you tell people where they can enhance their enjoyment of us?
You can check out our website at www.retrolatefee.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can write us at latefee1994@AOL.com.
No fee.
Check out our Patreon at www.patreon.com/retrolatefee.
Yeah, Yahoo it.
And you can share the tapes with your friends.
All right, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.